In looking at this issue of spiritual warfare, we have seen that Christians are in a spiritual battle, and there is an enemy that we face, the devil. The Bible tells us we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we need to clothe ourselves with the whole armor of God. And the armor of God has to do with our obedience and appropriation of the gospel to our lives. And this morning we're looking at the shield of faith, the fourth piece of the armor that Paul speaks about after the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the first question we ask is this: what is the shield of faith? What is the shield of faith? Sometimes when we think of a shield, we might think of a small, round shield that just fits on the arm, a quite small shield. But the shield that Paul is thinking about here probably did not look like that. It wasn't a round shield. It was a rectangular shield, a door-shaped shield, about 4 feet long, 2.5 feet wide. Large enough that a Roman soldier could crouch behind the shield and it would hide him completely. And that shield was made to withstand all kinds of missiles. As the soldiers went into battle, they had a shield which could cover them. It was made of wood and then covered with hardened leather and lined around the edges with metal, perhaps in the center as well. It wouldn't fray, it wouldn't tear apart. Apparently the soldiers would dip their shields into water before they went into battle, so that when flaming arrows or spears came at them, the shields dipped in water would put out the flames, and also able to deflect then missiles from enemies. And the shield then had these protective purposes, part of the needed armor of the soldier. But the shield was also part of the honor of the soldier. Often on the front of the shield, there would be emblazoned a coat of arms, the symbol of that particular army as they were marching into battle. So it was part of the soldier's honor as well as his protection. It was his honor at stake to hang on to that shield at all costs. There's a story from the Spartan Wars where a Spartan mother told her son, "Carry your shield or be carried home on your shield." In other words, don't run away in the heat of a battle. Don't retreat. Don't defect. Stand fast with your shield. Better to stand fast with your shield and if need be, even be carried back dead on your shield. Don't run away. Well, Paul is saying something like that for the Christian. The shield of faith is your personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior King. Do you have personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior King? That's your protection and your badge of honor, as it were. Faith identifies the believer, the one who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith then is absolutely essential, says Paul here in Ephesians 6. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, John says this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So that's the shield. And it's helpful for us for a moment perhaps to think about this shield of faith, what it is and what it is not. I need to say something about what it is not, because there is some confusion sometimes about what faith is. A lot of people, when they think about faith, think about a phrase like blind faith or a leap of faith into the dark. A lot of people think of faith like that, a blind faith, a leap of faith into the dark. But that's not a biblical definition of faith at all. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We're told in the Bible to walk by faith, not by sight. So in that sense, it's true, we don't operate in faith by looking at the things that are seen. We're not looking with our physical eyes. But we're not talking about blind faith when we talk about faith in the Bible. We could liken it like this. Blind faith is like a stranger telling a child to jump off a cliff into the unknown. Now, you wouldn't say to any child to listen to the voice of a stranger. And you wouldn't say to any child to leap off a cliff into the unknown. That's like blind faith. But that's not faith in the Bible. Faith in the Bible is like a father with a little child telling the little child to take a leap into the strong arms of a father who is sure to hold and catch and carry that child. The Bible defines faith by the object of faith. Who is our faith in? Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ as he's revealed to us in the Word of God and as we stand on the promises of that Word. Jesus Christ as he's revealed to us in the Gospel. So faith gets its strength from its object. It's faith in the Saviour. It's faith in Jesus Christ himself, the strong, the mighty, the great Saviour. So when the Bible is talking about faith, it's not talking about blind faith, like someone being told by a stranger to jump off a cliff. We're talking about the whole souled response of the heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus the Saviour, and it's whole souled. It involves your mind, your heart, your affections, your will. It's a wholehearted, a whole souled response of the whole person to Jesus Christ. Which is when the Bible talks about faith then. Faith involves knowledge and assent and trust. Faith knows something. Faith relies on the Lord Jesus Christ as he's revealed to us in the Word of God. Faith knows the Word of God, relies on the Word of God, believes the Word of God as Jesus Christ is revealed to us in that Word. So faith knows something. And faith then assents to that word. With your heart, you agree with it. With your heart, you accept it. You welcome it. You receive it. You believe it. There's knowledge. There's assent. You say yes. And then there's trust. That involves the will. You personally entrust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ as he's revealed to you in the truth of God's word. So all of that is involved in faith in the Bible. It's not blind faith. Faith involves mind and heart and will and affections. You know and believe and trust in Jesus Christ as he's revealed to you in the Word of God. And Paul is saying, take up the shield of faith. Respond with your whole heart, your whole soul to Jesus Christ as revealed to you in the truth of the Word of God. Have you responded wholeheartedly to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour? Have you, for the first time, taken up that shield of faith? Do you have a wholehearted, whole-souled response to Jesus Christ that says this morning, yes, I know him, I assent to him, I entrust myself to him wholly as my Saviour King? And that's not something you do just at the beginning of the Christian life. It's something you do day by day. Your reliance upon Jesus Christ. Take the shield of faith. So what is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is whole-souled, whole-hearted, reliance, trust in Jesus Christ as the Saviour King. Second question, how does the shield protect you then? What is the shield of faith? How does the shield protect you? Well, in the same way that the shield protected the entire body of a Roman soldier. So we can say that the shield of faith protects the whole person of the Christian. Faith, if it's the exercise of mind, heart, affections, will, the shield of faith protects mind, heart, affections, will. If you want to protect your mind this morning, you protect your mind with the shield of faith. You protect your heart with the shield of faith. You protect your affections, your desires, your conscience with the shield of faith. You protect your will. We've thought of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You protect that with the shield of faith. So in a way, the shield protects the soldier. It protects the whole armor. Sometimes the shield of faith is called armor for the armor. I say that because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And whatever is not from faith is sin. You cannot be a real Christian without personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the belt of truth is protected by faith. You cannot know the righteousness of Christ put to your account and then in response to that seek to live a holy life without faith. The sandals with which our feet are shod are the preparation of the gospel of peace. How do you get peace with God? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By believing, by faith. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Faith. So faith is essential. Faith is essential to other piece of or every piece of the Christian armor. And it's essential for salvation. You're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then not only at the start of the Christian life have you entrusted yourself to Jesus Christ in faith, but are you seeking to live by faith? One of the great Puritan authors was a man named Walter Marshall. Walter Marshall was troubled because he had a sin problem. There was a particular sin in his life which he couldn't get victory over. And he was really troubled by this habitual sin. Pastors struggle with sin, and Walter Marshall struggled with sin. He read many practical guides to the Christian life, but he just couldn't seem to get a handle on this particular sin problem in his life. So finally he went to one of his fellow pastors who he really trusted, a man named Thomas Goodwin. And he confessed all his sins to Thomas Goodwin. Now Thomas Goodwin was a very Christ-centered man. And Thomas Goodwin listened to Walter Marshall, and in confessing his sins, particularly this sin that he was troubled by. And when Walter Marshall was finished, Thomas Goodwin said to him, "Brother, you've left off the worst of your sins. You didn't confess your sin of unbelief. Living by faith. Sin of unbelief." And it changed Walter Marshall's life. He began to understand that the root of all of his other sin problems, particularly though this sin that he was struggling with, was a lack of faith. It was a failure to fully trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fully trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, but also to fully trust in Jesus Christ for power to overcome this sin problem. Be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. And as Walter Marshall began to do that and exercise faith, his life was completely transformed. He preached a series of sermons, The Gospel Mystery of Sanctification, which was published as a wonderful book. See, faith, absolutely essential then. It protects us from the fiery darts of the wicked one, which is the focus of the passage we read. This spiritual conflict we're engaged in. There is a spiritual being who is malicious and wicked and evil, called the evil one. Description of the devil, Satan, the evil leader of this host of spiritual forces arrayed against the Christian. So when we're under attack, when we're being tempted, when there are fiery darts, arrows that are on fire, that have been shot at us, temptations around. Often that is what Roman soldiers would face in battle. Darts or shot arrows would be shot at them. And maybe then the arrow would first be dipped in something combustible, it'd be set on fire and shot at them. There are reports of Roman soldiers who'd come through battles where the legion would count hundreds of arrows fastened on the shields of the soldiers. They'd been protected by their shields in battle. So these missiles, these flaming, fiery darts, arrows that were thrown at them, fired at them. The shield was absolutely essential to protect the soldiers. If the soldier didn't have a shield, the arrow would perhaps hit them, hit their body, would wound them, a mortal wound. But if it was a fiery arrow, the soldier would be burnt as well. It was absolutely essential for these soldiers to have shields. Well, we can say in spiritual terms, all the darts and sins and temptations of the devil, as they are shot at us, we need to take the shield of faith. Let me give you a couple of examples. The fiery dart. The fiery dart of fear. You find yourself in a situation when you find yourself fearful, anxious, worried. Perhaps you wake up in the middle of the night and a thought comes into your mind and you begin to fear. You've had a panic attack, perhaps, where fear, anxiety, trouble arises. Now, how are you going to use the shield of faith against that fiery dart of fear? Will you exercise faith in the promises of God? Psalm 56, verse 3, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. When you fear the unknown circumstances of the future, you take the shield of faith. You preach to yourself the promises of the word of God. Isaiah 41, verse 10, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Or you fear the loss of a loved one, or the loss of something that gives you a sense of security. How am I going to make it if I lose this person, or if I lose my job, or if I lose this part of my life? If this is taken away from me, how am I going to keep going? You preach to yourself the promises of the word of God. You take the shield of faith. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God says, the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As we fear old age approaching, even to your old age I am he, says the Lord, even to grey hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you. Or you fear death itself. Philippians 1 verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You take the shield of faith. You say, Christian, you do not need to fear death. In death, you will go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is gain, says Paul, because you gain the immediate presence of the Saviour himself. Or you fear that faith is weak and you could turn your back on Jesus Christ. Or you fear that you might make peace with sin. Or that at the end you will fall away. You lift up the shield of faith, confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. So you take the shield of faith against the fiery darts of fear. Or here's another fiery dart, the fiery dart of doubt. You doubt, has God really forgiven me my sins? Do you have that doubt? Are you really forgiven? These accusations that come from the enemy. You take the shield of faith. You say, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 8, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died and furthermore is also risen and is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Bowed down beneath a load of sin, by Satan sorely pressed, by wars without and fears within, I come to thee for rest. Be thou my shield and hiding place, that sheltered near thy side I may my fierce accuser face. And what am I going to tell him? And tell him, thou hast died. Jesus has died. You take the shield of faith. That's how you fight those fiery darts. You believe the promises of the word of God. Is there really now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? You rely on the word of God with your whole soul. You tell the evil one, Jesus Christ has died. Will God really take care of my family? Will God provide in this financial situation? You take the shield of faith, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the fiery dart of doubt, the fiery dart of fear, the fiery dart of despair. Sometimes we feel God is far away. Where is hope? Maybe there's someone here or someone listening online who's on the brink and you feel discouraged. You take the shield of faith. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, says the psalmist, Psalm 42. For I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. John Bunyan, in that great book, Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and hopeful were locked up in the castle called Doubting Castle. Doubting Castle was owned by Giant Despair. And they were being mocked by Giant Despair. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. How did Christian and Hopeful get out of Doubting Castle when they're being mocked by Giant Despair? Bunyan says they were locked up in there for 4 days until suddenly Christian remembered that in his pocket he had a key. The key was called Promise. The promises of the Bible, the promises of the Word of God, standing on the promises. He pulled out the key of promise. And with the key of promise, he was able to unlock every padlock, every gate, every door. The way out of Doubting Castle, the way out and away from the mocking of Giant Despair, was the key of promise, the promises of the Word of God. You fight the fiery darts of despair using the shield of faith. You take the promises of the word of God. So whatever the temptation is, whatever the emotion is, whatever the accusation is, whether it's doubt or fear or despair, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So what is the shield of faith? How does the shield protect you? Thirdly, how do you take then the shield of faith? The language is slightly different, isn't it, when it comes to the shield of faith? You notice that in verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Take up, verse 13, the whole armor of God. You gird your waist with truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. You shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But now take the shield of faith. Not put on, but take. The first three pieces of armor were to be put on, fastened to the body. But now the shield of faith is to be taken. As you go into battle, you take the shield of faith. The shield is on your arm. You're going to use it. You have to exercise faith. How do you take the shield of faith? You take the shield of faith by you hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we hear the word of God, faith comes through hearing. Martin Luther said that a Christian does not see with the eyes, but hears with the ears. That's Martin Luther's unusual way of putting it, perhaps. What Luther meant, though, is we don't live by what we can see. We don't live by visions, what we can see. We live by the word of God. We live by hearing the word of God. There's something especially important about a congregation of God's people coming together to hear the word of God. Now, yes, we are all meant to hear and read the word of God personally and as families and devotionally. That's important. But there's also an importance to regular, consistent worship on the Lord's Day, morning and evening, God's people coming together to hear the word of God. If you read church history, what will amaze you very often is how hungry people were to come together to hear the word of God. John Calvin in Geneva, for example, preached about 15 times a month at least. And the people were hungry to hear the word of God. When we realize we are vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one, if faith comes by hearing, we need to have that hunger for the word of God. So hear the word of God. Secondly, pray to the interceding Saviour. Prayer is the exercise of faith then. As we pray, we exercise faith. In the letter to the Hebrews, the writer holds out Jesus Christ, our great high priest, as someone who is tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly then, he says, to the throne of grace, that we may find grace to help in time of need. You come to God for help. You pray. You exercise faith. You ask God to strengthen your faith. You ask God, if you're not a Christian, to give you faith. If you feel this morning your faith is weak, you say, Lord, strengthen my faith. If you have no faith, Lord, you cry out to God, give me this gift of faith. I want to trust wholeheartedly in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice the person you're praying to, says the Bible, is the interceding Saviour. You are to pray to him, but Jesus Christ, the interceding Saviour, he prays for you. If you're a Christian, Jesus prays for you. Peter was one of the self-confident disciples. He's the one who said he would never deny the Lord. Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus said to him, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. So let us draw near to God through the one who always lives to intercede for us. You pray to the interceding Saviour, and you remind yourself he's the one who prays for you. But then also lock shields with other believers. Lock shields with fellow soldiers of Jesus Christ. That's an important feature of the shield. The Roman shield apparently had a beveled edge so that the shields could lock together. As they went into battle, the Roman soldiers would often lock shields together. It made a formidable defense, like a shield wall, with which they faced their enemies. Now that is at least suggestive of an idea in the Bible where we help one another in our faith. Hebrews 3 verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What's the solution? But exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Christians need other Christians. Brothers and sisters, they can sit down with, have a cup of coffee with, can call on the phone, can send a message, help in a time of weakness. Pray for me that my faith will not fail. So don't sit on the margins, on the sidelines. Get plugged into Christian fellowship. Build real Christian friendships. People you can ask for help to strengthen your faith. Lock shields with other believers. And then finally, the last thing, look to Jesus, the great object of faith. Faith derives its strength, not from itself, but from who you are trusting in. The object of faith. Who are you trusting in? You are not trusting in yourself. You are trusting in Jesus Christ. So look to Jesus, says the Bible. He's the author and finisher of our faith. William Bridge gave this illustration of how to deal with temptations. He said, we think of temptation like a candle. We've all had the experience of trying to blow out a candle and the flame didn't actually go out. Especially you've experienced that if you've tried to blow out these trick candles now on a birthday cake. Think you've blown them out and up they flame again. Well, William Bridge said, we often try to blow out the flame of our temptations by saying to ourselves, try harder, try harder, try harder. Instead, he said, dip the candle in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let that put out the flame. Don't just say to yourself, try harder, try harder, try harder. Dip the candle, that temptation that's burning, dip it in the blood of Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ in faith. You focus on Jesus Christ. You're not looking to your own strength, your own will, your own self-effort. You're not going to win the battle that way, he's saying. Focus on Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. Faith is putting all your trust in what Jesus Christ has done and what he is doing in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Raise the shield of faith. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust him wholly. Trust him always. Trust him day by day. Trust him more and more. Trust him in life. Trust him in death. Take the shield of faith. Look in faith to Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and we magnify our great Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who we put our whole trust in, for life and death, for time, for eternity. He's the only Saviour of sinners, but we magnify this great Saviour, for he saves wholly all who trust in him. This mighty Saviour, hear us as we come. Help us as we live day by day to take the shield of faith with which we can stand against all the fiery darts of the evil one. We thank you that Jesus Christ is such a great, such a mighty Saviour. And we can come to you now and know that you will hear us, for we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a hymn that's not in our hymn book, but a hymn that's been written about the whole armour of God. And that's the closing hymn that we're going to end with this morning. It talks about all the items of the Christian's armour, including this shield of faith. So we'll stand to sing this closing hymn, Be Strong in the Lord.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people this day and even forevermore, world without end. Amen.